told you there is one key reason why your business is not growing, and that in order to fix it, you need to, number one, stop doing 99% of the things that you're currently doing, and number two, focus all of your time and all of your attention on just one pivotal skill and five pivotal actions that will get your business growing again. In this video, I'm going to share with you exactly what that skill is, as well as the full list of the exact five actions you want to start focusing on, not to just get your business to start growing again, but to grow in a sense that will release and free up your time and your schedule to actually enjoy life. In other words, this one skill combined with these five pivotal actions will help you earn more, work less, and finally get the life that you truly want. Hey, I'm Natalia from NataliaRay.com, and in the past 5 to 7 years, I've been working with countless business owners, both as a business coach as well as a marketer, to get their business out of that stagnant state and to get it to start growing again. So I've worked with a wide variety of people, right? Some of them were service providers like agency owners, graphic designers, photographers, others were consultants and coaches, and some of them just sold digital products and that's the only thing that they did. And even though all of those people's businesses were completely different and they came from different backgrounds and different countries, there was just one core reason why their business was struggling, and I bet it's the exact same reason why your business is not growing, and it's the exact same thing that you need to focus on in order to fix it and get your business to start growing again. And that thing is that all of the people that I've worked with no exceptions, were an expert, an amazing expert in what they were doing, but they were not the CEO that their business needed in order to start growing. In other words, they were amazing at their field, at their chosen skills. Some were amazing yoga teachers, photographers, graphic designers, marketers. They were amazing at that. They were truly the best in the world in what they did. But even though that they had this expertise that they could help people with, they did not have the other set of expertise that is required of you from the second you start a business, right? And let me explain what I mean. Let's say that you are the world's absolute best masseuse. You have golden hands, and every single person that comes through your door immediately feels amazing, and they never want to leave, right? You're the world's top masseuse. The question is, do you think being the world's top masseuse will help you in building $1 million business? Because let's say that 10,000 people actually heard about how great you are and they came through your door rushing in, wanted to get a massage by you. Do you think that's the thing that will make you happy and grow your business? I would argue not. You'll probably want to be dead in a second because you're like, what the heck? Am I supposed to give a massage now to 10,000 people? In other words, you're missing the skill in order to turn what you know, which is how to create great massage, into a business, right? Because there is a difference between being an expert and a master in what you do versus being the business owner, the CEO that your business needs in order to grow, in order to become the kind of organization that you want it to be so that you can earn as much as you like and live the kind of life that you truly want to live, right? Because that particular masseuse from our example, for example, if they wanted to scale their business, they will probably need to teach others the method that they use to give massage. They will probably need to maybe rent additional spaces for all of the people who want to come in to actually be able to get massages from the people they just hired. Maybe they will need to figure out exactly how to build a digital course and how to sell it in order to put it in the hands of people. You see what I mean? It's a totally different set of skills. They're completely different from the original skill that made them start their business. Even though they're a great masseuse, in order to grow their business, they need to learn the business aspect of it, which I like to call becoming the digital CEO, which their business needs. Right? Now, the question that you might be asking is, okay, so what does a digital CEO do exactly? Right? Because there are countless things that you can do in order to grow your business, improve your marketing, bring more customers through the door, and you probably don't want to and can't do all of them. So that's why we have this video, because I'm about to share with you, I'm going to dive into my whiteboard and list out the five only things that you want to be focusing on in order to bring your business into the point where you want it to be. An automated business that earns you six figures or more while you work the amount of hours that you want to work. right? I want to detach the amount of money that you're making from how much time you're actually working each and every day. Because unless you're going to create that detachment consciously, you will never be free. You will never be able to live the kind of life that you want, because you will forever be chasing the dollar. You will forever have to work again and again and more hours in order to grow your income, which is something that we do not want to see happening, right? So with that being said, I'm going to open my whiteboard and go through the process of exactly what are the five things you want to focus on in order to become the digital CEO that your business needs, so that your business can start growing again and you can have the kind of life that you want, right? So let's get into it. And let's start with pivotal action number one. This is the very first thing that you want to do if you want to start seeing your business growing again. And that is to set the vision and the goals of your company, of your business. Set up exactly how do you want your business to look like when you have the ideal lifestyle that you want to live, right? And here's what I mean. You did not start your business just for the heck of it, right? You probably had a certain goal in mind, right? And it's not just about helping people, even though that is what you do using your skill. When you turn that skill into a business, your goal probably was to either free up your time or your calendar. You perhaps wanted to start earning more money. Perhaps you wanted more recognition so that more people know your name, right? You have a very specific set of goals that you've had, whether they were conscious or subconscious, that got you to go through this mess, an emotional roller coaster called starting a business, right? And I will argue from personal experience that if you're going to continue down the path that you currently are, let's say that you are chasing the dollars and all you care about is making that $100,000 a year, I assure you that once you get there, you will be miserable, right? And ask me how I know. I reached financial goals that I would never in a million years have ever thought that I would hit. And I was chasing dollars back then. That's all I cared about. But once I hit that place where I'm making amounts of money that I could never even dream of, that were ever even possible for someone like me, at that point in my life, I was working so much that I was just miserable. I had no time for myself. I didn't work out. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't have time for my family, for my friends. I didn't have time for me to just read a book that is not marketing related, because all I did was work on my business and I was miserable. And that's the exact thing that we want to prevent with this step right here. If you want your business to bring you to the kind of life that you truly want, you first have to be crystal clear how that life looks like, right? And it first starts with you as the founder of the company setting the vision for what's about to come, right? If you look at all of the greatest entrepreneurs of our time, what you see in them, the Jeff Bezos of the world, the Elon Musks of the world, the Steve Jobs of the world, what they had is a vision of exactly what is it that they want to create, and everything that happened afterwards followed that vision, right? Now, you don't have to be Elon Musk for this step to be relevant to you. You just have to understand what is the life that you're after. In other words, I want you to open a journal and ask yourself, how does a perfect day in your life, and I don't mean a day where you went on vacation and got drunk with your friends and family and had the best of times, right? I mean like a normal work day. How does that day look like, right? What time do you wake up? How many times do you spend working? Because I don't know if you've already got to the point where you understand this about online business or not, but you can literally choose how many hours per day you work. You don't have to work 8 hours. You don't have to even work 6 hours. You can work 2 hours a day and make a killing, 7 figures a year, by setting up your business correctly, but you will not be able to do that unless you have the vision of how that looks like, right? Other questions that you might want to ask yourself is, are you in a business where you take a lot of meetings, or do you like to work more solely on your business? Meaning only you on your own in front of your laptop, right? This will determine the kind of business model that you might want to go in, right? If you're the kind of person who likes to spend more time on their own and you don't particularly enjoy meetings, starting a marketing agency will probably not be the best route for you, right? So by setting this vision, by understanding who you are, by designing the ideal lifestyle you would have if you had like all of the options open for you, which they are, by the way, this will help you build the kind of business that will truly make you happy, right? So that's step number one. setting your vision. Step number two in making sure that your business starts growing again and becoming the CEO that your business truly needs is to design what I like to call a Godfather offer. And that essentially means that you, as the business owner, it is your responsibility to design an offer that is compelling enough for your audience to truly want, right? If you take a look at almost any kind of business around you that does not do that great, the main reason why 90% of them fail is because they fail to create a compelling offer that people actually want, right? I would probably say it's not even 90, it's probably more like 80% of the success of your business determines and will fall flat or succeed based on that. Right? That alone, changing that alone will transform your business. And let me give you an example. Let's say that you have a sales page that is not working that great. Now, where does the term Godfather offer came from? So I don't know if you watched the Godfather series. I actually love this. It's a mafia movie. It essentially talks about an Italian crime family and all of the stuff that they were doing in New York back in the day. And one of the scenes in the movie is where the Godfather, who's the main character of the movie, is actually making an offer that one of the people who he gave his offer to cannot resist, an offer they could not refuse. And that's where this term came from, the Godfather offer, meaning your offer has to be so good that people will be clinging on it. They want it so bad, they don't even care about anything else, they just want to have it. Now, the next question to ask is, okay, so how do you decide what's inside a Godfather offer? How does that Godfather offer look like? And the answer is, it's a bit complex, but to make it simple, there are three core things that an offer has to have in order for it to be considered a Godfather offer, in order for people to not be able to resist it. The first thing that your offer has to have is a clear promise, right? A promise of what your offer can do for people. What kind of problem can it solve for them? What kind of future can it create for them, right? If I was to sell a business course, I could make you a promise that you will have in your hands the game plan for building a six-figure business in less than 12 months. This is the promise that I can make you. And if you're the kind of person who wants to have that, you will be very much inclined to take me up on my offer because this is the kind of promise that I have. Because many different people have great promises, but still their offers are not being sold very effectively. And the reason is because they're missing number two. And number two is a unique process that you have in order to make that promise happen, right? What is your method? What is your framework? What is your step-by-step action plan for making that promise, that result actually happen, right? So let's say that you're a fitness instructor and you help people lose weight. So everybody knows how to lose weight. Everybody knows that you have to eat healthy and exercise, right? But within those two things is an entirely different universe, right? Are you helping people lose weight through paleo dieting, through becoming a vegan, vegetarian, through eating intermittent fasting? Do you have like your own method that you invented? And what kind of exercise routine do you give them? Do you get them to dance, to lift weights, to do yoga? Like all of those combinations is essentially something that creates your unique process. How do you turn that promise into a reality through a unique process, right? Now, the third thing that you need in order for your offer to be completely irresistible is your price. You need a price point that again will be irresistible. And here, I actually wanna say something that most people see pricing in the wrong way. Most people think that in order for their offer to be irresistible, it's all about giving people the lowest price possible. But I would not only argue, but I can actually prove to you that it's completely false, because I made multiple seven-figure launches where our offer, our price was actually higher the second launch around, and we made a ton more money and a ton more sales. So it's not about the pricing, it's about how do you position the price, right? It's about how do you get the pricing of your offer to look cheap even though it's not. Right? How do you make a $5,000 course look incredibly affordable? Let me give you an example. So one of the courses where I sold for one of my clients is a certification, right? And we actually compared the price of the certification, which was approximately $5,000, to an MBA degree. that can cost approximately $100,000. And we said, we claimed, and we could also prove with a bunch of case studies that if you're going to take our course, our certification, you can earn just as much as, if not more, than a person who took your $100,000 MBA by simply paying $5,000 for our products. So by comparing this $5,000 with a $100,000 MBA choice, I made my product's price, even though not cheap at all, look extremely affordable and like the better deal, right? So I hope this part made sense. You need to design a godfather offer, and that's your role as the digital CEO of your business. Now, the next pivotal action that you have to focus on as the digital CEO of your business to make sure that your business is growing again is to come up and figure out what is the sales process for your offer. Right? Just because you have an offer, it's amazing, but the chances of me putting a sales page online with a $5,000 price tag on a certification and just waiting for sales to fall from the sky, this is never going to happen. The chances are slim to none, would emphasize on none, right? And so you actually want to create buzz and a hype and create a process for selling your offer effectively. Now, some people will call this a sales funnel and will tell you it really is important if you sell this through a webinar or through a video series, etc., etc. And I have to tell you right now, how you sell your offer, whether you go for a webinar, a video series, a live on Instagram, etc., etc., does not matter. It doesn't matter. You can use a webinar, you cannot use a webinar, you can just create a sales page with a video. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the five things that I'm going to give you right now, which are the formula for a successful seven-figure campaign, right? And this formula is all about the messaging behind your campaign, right? So the type of campaign does not matter. Whether it's, again, it's a webinar or a live call or a sales call or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. What matters is what are you going to say once you're on that sales process, on the sales call with the client, on the webinar, etc., to make the client actually want to buy your offer. And in order for this to happen, you have to have four different things inside your campaign to make it compelling. The first thing you want to have is free value, right? You will notice when people sell products, especially higher ticket products, they first give you free value, right? It could be a masterclass, a free webinar, it could be a free video series, they might be releasing several YouTube videos and only then declaring the sale, etc., etc. But regardless, you want to have free value that essentially will educate people and prep them to understand the value of your offer, right? Only once I walk you through the process of how I build businesses and show you case studies of people that I've worked with, only then will you actually understand the value of my method and will be willing to start considering paying me high sums of money for what I know, right? So you have to start with free value, with education. The next thing you need is a godfather offer, which we've already covered, so I'm not gonna go into that again. And then the next thing you wanna have is objection handling, right? So let's say that you have your free value and you've made your offer. The next thing people are going to have is some objections. Oh, this will never work for me because da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Just think, like, how many times did you saw maybe trainings about starting a business or something like that, and in the back of your mind, the only thing that went through your head is, well, it worked for them because they have da-da-da-da-da. They're good looking. They live in America. They have an American accent. They just started early. But for me, it will never work because, and then put in your made-up story right there, right? And we all have those. So you have to be able to know how to take care of those objections. And the last thing that you have to want to have in your campaign is a deadline, right? When was the last time that you entered a physical clothing store or bought something online? Because most chances are you will get into a store because you will see this big sign on the window, right? Sale, 20% off. Limited time, and that actually got you to take action and get into the store today versus tomorrow because there is some form of scarcity involved, right? And scarcity can be in a form of prices going up, limited amounts and copies are available, etc. Maybe there are bonuses who are going away. It doesn't matter. There are like many different ways of creating a deadline and scarcity, but you want to have that baked into your campaign. right? So now that you will have your vision, your offer, and your sales process, the next step for you to do as your digital CEO is to start figuring out how do you build a content machine so you can start growing your audience, right? Your business's success will ride or die on the basis of how many people are actually listening to you and believing to what you have to say. How many people actually know, like, and trust you and will hear you when you start talking about your campaign or about your Godfather offer, right? And this is all about audience building. In previous videos, I've talked about how to choose maybe the right platform for you to create content and grow your audience and stuff like that. So I'm not gonna get into it in this video right here. What I do wanna talk about is, the question is, what makes a person followable, right? I want you to start thinking about all of the people that you literally follow and actually listen to, which are a few, right? Even if you follow thousands of people, most chances are in any particular set of time, you're only truly listening to about two or three of them, right? This is just how our human brain is wired. We're just not able to follow hundreds of different people all at the same time and give them the exact same amount of our attention, because our brain is actually wired to live in small communities. So we're not able to actually comprehend a relationship with hundreds and thousands of different people, right? So I want you to stop thinking about who are the main two to three people that you follow the most, and what are the qualities about them that made them so interesting to you? What is it about them that made you follow them and makes you tune into what they have to say every single time, right? And many people will say it's because they have great content. But truth be told, if you look at most people that are extremely popular, their content is not really that different from other people's content. They still share lists and to-dos and productivity methods and menus and all kinds of things that other people are sharing as well, but other people are not as popular as them, right? So I want to ask you, why not? And I will say that the main reason why you follow certain people and not others is because of their characteristics and personality. There is something about that person whom you follow the most that you like and want to be more like. Perhaps it's their confidence, perhaps it's their bravery, perhaps it's how they actually look like, which you aspire to look the same. Perhaps it's something different, but there is something about their personality or about how they present themselves that makes you super intrigued and that makes you want to be more like them, right? And I would argue, if you make a list of all of the people that you like to follow and their characteristics, you will have the actual formula of all of the things that you need to start improving in yourself, right, in order to become followable as well, right? For example, people who I follow, I really, really like alpha women, right? I really like to follow women who are, they're not as gentle as most women are, communicate in a very gentle way. I don't really vibe with that. I vibe with women who are strong, who are powerful, who are alpha, who are confident, who will come to the camera and just tell you what they think and have literally like zero sugarcoating things. That's what I admire about people whom I follow, and that's who I aspire to be. And that's why I actually work on those characteristics in myself to become more followable within myself, right? And this is a process that will not take 1 day, 2 days, or even 1 or 2 years. This is something that you will be evolving over time, because over time you will find more and more characteristics that you would like to have within yourself. And so you will continuously evolve as a person, as an expert, as an online personality, and will eventually become the kind of people that you look up to today, right? So that's the fourth thing that you have to focus on as the digital CEO of your business, because nobody can become the face of your brand as good as you can be, right? And if you're gonna go down the route of starting a personal brand, like your own YouTube or your own TikTok or your own Instagram, whatever it is for you, becoming followable is super, super crucial. But now let's move on to the last step that you wanna focus your attention on as the digital CEO of your business to make sure that your business starts growing again and allows you the kind of lifestyle that you want. And that is hiring and automation. And let me put it in a more sexy way. This is what I like to call scaling your business, right? One of the biggest mistakes that I've made in the beginning of my business is I chased money, right? And I thought the more clients that I can land on my own as a single person, the more money that I can make, and I'm gonna save so much time on having a team. And I thought I was so smart, right? But eventually what happened is that I was successful. I was making a ton shit of money, but I wasn't happy. I was miserable, I was burnt out, and I hated the kind of life that I created for myself, right? And that's when I realized that I have to start setting up systems and investing in people and in automatic processes and tools that will take the workload off of my shoulders and allow my business to grow without being dependent on me, right? And that's the very final step of your business which you need to invest in which you need to do. And let me explain what I mean. Let's say that your aim is to make $100,000 a year, right? If you're going to divide that into working hours, that essentially means approximately 2,080 working hours per year. And if you take that math further, that means that in order to earn this amount of money and work these amounts of hours, which is a normal work day, let's say for now, you will have to earn approximately $48 an hour, right? So my question to you, if you know that you need to be earning $48 an hour in order to make $100,000 a year, why are you spending most of your time doing $5 an hour tasks? Why are you scheduling your own content? Why are you editing your own videos? Why the heck are you building your own pages? That's my point. You cannot build a $100,000 business and earn $50 an hour by spending all of your time doing $5 an hour tasks. That's just mathematically impossible. So you want to take all of these tasks that you can delegate outside for less than the amount of money that you need to be earning, all of those $5, $10, $20 an hour tasks, you want to give them to other people so that you can focus on what matters, right? And what matters are these five things that we've just talked about. Number one is to set up the vision. Constantly update it because your business will grow, your lifestyle will grow, your desires will grow, your visions for yourself, your dreams will grow. So you want to keep this up to date. I like to update my vision at least every quarter. Then you want to spend your time creating Godfather offers. You have one, great. Move on to the next one. What else can you offer your audience? Pay attention. Talk to them. Then the next thing is, once you have an offer, how are you going to sell it? What is the process? What is the messaging? Then you want to invest a lot of your time building your audience, creating content, doing what you need to do to become well known in your space. And lastly, you want to focus your time on creating automations, what we call SOPs, standard operating procedures, and hiring people into your business that will take the workload of low-paying tasks off of your shoulders, off of your hands, so that you can focus on what matters, on high-paying tasks, on tasks that will bring your business forward. So I hope this video made sense for you to understand why your business is not growing and exactly what you need to do, the five pivotal actions that you need to take in order to fix it and get your business to grow again. If you have any questions for me, hit me up in the comments below. If you're looking to support this channel, please make sure to like this video and subscribe because it helps me get the word out about these videos. Other than that, if you want to know everything that I know about online business for free, make sure to subscribe to my email newsletter. It's called The Digital CEO. You can find it in nataliaray.com/newsletter, where every single Saturday I will send you one email with a strategy that you can utilize in your business that same week to bring your business one step closer to your goals, to your desired lifestyle, to the amount of money that you truly want to and deserve to earn. I'm going to see you in the next episode, and until then, yalla bye.